This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Baseball 17. Right now, the number one PC game on Metacritic as far as rating. Not the number one sports game, the number one game, period. As of May 1st, a Metacritic rating of 93 on the PC. And that's because, well, let's face it, Out of the Park 17 is the best baseball strategy game ever made. It lets you run every aspect of your club from either the front office and or in the dugout. It's fully licensed by Major League Baseball and the MLBPA, which means you've got all the authentic 2016 opening day rosters, plus all the real minor league guys. Plus, you've got every season ever from 1871 through 2015 with the Major League and the minor league teams. It's amazing. You can build your own custom baseball worlds. You can play solo. You can play in online leagues. There's so much that you can do with Out of the Park Baseball 17. You can get it today for $39.99 on the Mac, on the PC, on Linux. You can get it through Steam, or you can get it directly from ootpdevelopments.com. And if you use the code PRESS17, P-R-E-S-S-1-7, you will get an additional 10% off. So that is Out of the Park Baseball 17.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Press Row Podcast presented by Hit the Pass. I'm your host, Brian Weedeye, Pasta Padre, and we've got a special show for you on deck. While franchise and the single player story or traditional career modes haven't received quite as much development attention and resources in recent years when up against the prioritized revenue generators like Ultimate Team, sans NBA 2K anyway, they are a big avenue to satisfying longtime fans of sports game franchises and attracting new ones. And finally, some significant moves are being made this year with those modes through two of the biggest games out there from EA Sports. Rich Grisham is back with developer interviews for both FIFA 17 and Madden NFL 17. Creative director Matthew Pryor and producer Aaron McCarty are welcomed in to talk about FIFA's brand new story mode, before turning to a discussion with Madden designer John White on the improvements and additions that have been made to franchise mode. There will be a lot more to cover over the coming days. Make sure to subscribe to the Press Row Podcast so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the show.
Well, all right, it is that time of year where we start talking about the new FIFA, in this case FIFA 17. And joining us today to talk all about it are two of the best guys in the world to discuss exactly what that means. We have joining us again on the Press Row Podcast. Up first, we have Aaron McCarty, a producer on FIFA, and we have Matt Pryor, the creative director. Aaron, Matt, welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So much stuff to get to. Let's start off with the first big announcement about FIFA 17 is that it is going to be built using the Frostbite engine. Tell me, as a guy who doesn't really understand what that means, tell me why it's so important and what it means to me as somebody who likes to play FIFA.
So the move to Frostbite for FIFA is a big deal, and for a number of reasons. So first of all, for somebody who doesn't know what Frostbite technology is, it's a technology that's been around at EA and a lot of our bigger games like Battlefield and Need for Speed. There's some games at BioWare that use this technology. They're already using this technology, so this is something that's been around for a while. But FIFA hasn't been a part of that technology, and this is the first year that we're moving our whole game, and the entirety of the game is going to be built on the Frostbite engine platform. So we're really excited about that, but what does that mean for our games, I think, is the question. Frostbite, with it, brings a couple of really cool things. In fact, more than a couple, but I'll talk to you about a couple. One, it comes with a brand new rendering engine. So our renderers on FIFA now get a whole new tool set to be able to make the game look its best. And I think from the early signs of what we've been seeing from gameplay, there's some new lighting technology that we have, and the ability to present the stadium and what happens in gameplay in its finest is quite astounding. And I think the pictures you'll start seeing of that, videos you'll start seeing of that over the coming months will really tell its own story. But I think the biggest thing we get from the Frostbite engine is the ability to really rapidly create content. And that sort of revolutionized our thinking about how we and what we build for FIFA. The birth of a brand new mode in FIFA this year, something we're calling the Journey, FIFA's 17's The Journey is an entirely cinematic style single player experience. And it's the first time we'll be able to bring something like this to the table, and it's all because of how quickly we can iterate on content in the Frostbite engine. So we can take you to new worlds that you've never seen before and immerse you in the life of a footballer, which is what The Journey is all about, by creating environments and lighting those environments and putting objects in those environments in a way and at a speed that we've never been able to do in the past.
Okay, so that's... That so many different follow-up questions for that. The first one I have is, when I hear engine and I think of software, I think, whoa, that's a big deal, right? So it's probably not a small effort to do this. I don't know if it's a conversion. I don't know if you built from the ground up. Like, I don't even know what it means, but it sounds like it was a pretty significant effort. How long has this effort been going on to sort of make this transformation to the Frostbite engine, and what are some of the risks that are inherent with such a big decision?
Yeah, so that's a great question. It's been a monumental effort here at FIFA. A lot of people have been working long and hard. We've been working on this for over 2 years now, so it's been in the pipes for a long time. I think in terms of risks, I think the ultimate risk is, well, can you actually do it? which I think we've kind of proven that we can, and FIFA is running on this engine, and some of our members of the press have already seen it and been able to comment on how great it looks. And I think everybody will get to see that in the coming days as well for their own eyes. So I think the proof is a little bit in the pudding in terms of what it means. Ultimately, what it means, though, as I said, is it's a whole new tool set for us, and it allows us to do those great things that I was talking about in terms of content creation and a brand new rendering engine and the tools that we get being common with a lot of other teams around EA. And, you know, that's sort of, I talked a lot about what it does for the fans and for the game in terms of brass tacks of what we're building. But the other thing that we don't get a lot of chance to talk about is how it changes our organization and the ability for us to be able to collaborate with other teams. We had a lot of help from people at DICE in Sweden who have been working on Frostbite for a long time for our Battlefield games and other games that have been on Frostbite. They've come over and helped us get to know the tool set and how to be able to understand how to get the most out of the tool set as well. And we've had collaboration with people at BioWare on creating The Journey. So I think it breaks down a lot of walls for us internally, as well as how we can collaborate with other teams at EA who are now using the same technology, so we can speak exactly the same language and get to the details of how we go about overcoming the challenges in front of us, or how we go about materializing the visions we have for features. So it does a lot of things behind the scenes as well.
So, Matt, you and I have spoken multiple times in the past about FIFA. I mean, you know, back to when it was originally launching on the Vita, on the Wii U, for example. So I guess basically they just, whenever they see you, they're like, all right, when it's time to try something completely different, we're just going to give it to Matt because he'll figure it out. Is that pretty much what happened here?
I'd love it if that were true. I'm not sure it is, but I'll take it, that's for sure. Yeah, we've been through a lot of iterations, and Frostbite is another one. It's a huge step forward for the franchise, and as Aaron alluded to, it's a really exciting one for many reasons, because it allows us opportunities to do stuff that we've not done before, which is kind of where the journey came from, which is the kind of brand new cinematic mode. And as Aaron said, that's happening purely and simply because we are transitioning over to Frostbite. So yes, a new dawn in some ways for FIFA, and a very exciting one.
So we'll get to The Journey in a minute, but I want to stay on the Frostbite for a minute. So will it be, other than, you know, the specific mode that, as you say, couldn't have even happened without Frostbite, is it something that will be immediately noticeable in the visuals, or will it be something that will be immediately noticeable in the gameplay with perhaps how the players animate? Will it be noticeable in maybe the commentary? Like, where will I don't want to say casual fans, but people who are FIFA fans who aren't necessarily the kind of people who count polygons or, you know, even know what a teraflop is, how will they, you know, notice and perhaps appreciate what Frostbite does for FIFA when they start playing FIFA 17?
Yeah, it's another good question. Just to be 100% clear, everything that we build in FIFA 17 is built on Frostbite. So it's the tool set that we build everything on. So in that regard, it's everywhere. As far as what you'll notice, it's not just The Journey. because of that reason, everything's built in here. I think we're quite excited. Like, if you take side-by-side screenshots of some of our night lighting, which is our furthest along, and as you know, we're still partway through the development cycle, even right now, you take side-by-side different images of FIFA 16's night lighting and FIFA 17's night lighting, and FIFA 17 already looks far and away better. So you're going to see that from the gameplay camera in some of the lighting conditions. You can really see the depth of the stadiums now, and the three-dimensional nature of them starts to come a little bit more to life. We sort of have three pillars that we talk about on Frostbite a lot about what the technology does for us. The first one is true-to-life action, which is all about what I'm talking about there, about the immersion in gameplay and what it does for you in terms of rendering and the environments and content that we can add to the pitch, like ball plinths and in celebration NIS, as you can see new things there, dressings in the crowd and different things like this will make the game immediately look better. The second thing that we talk about is taking you to new worlds, and that's really about immersing you in the stuff that we can create with Frostbite, which is a lot about what we were hinting at with the journey and the ability to make a style mode like that, because we can create those environments so rapidly. And the third thing is what it really does is brings depth and emotion to our characters. So if you go into replay and you look up at our characters close up, they're looking immensely realistic now. You can see the detail in their eyes. They look alive. You know, we've come under fire over the last few years on FIFA that our players could sometimes look a little bit wax-like or like statuesque, and they don't really look lifelike. And Frostbite's really given us the power to iterate on those tools. We have new facial animation technology that we're using in the game. We have new technology to actually animate the flesh around a player's neck and their body so that it's not just animating bones in something called post-based deformation, which allows us to create much more lifelike and emotive characters in the game all across the board. So it does a whole bunch of things, and I guess the net result is everything that we're doing now is built in Frostbite, so it has an effect on everything.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more about the new mode called The Journey. Now, you know, I think one of the things that FIFA was lauded for when the PlayStation 4/Xbox One generated launched was it made the leap into the next generation probably in a better position than any of the other major sports franchises. But a couple of years in, and I'm sure you heard some of the criticism, was that after that sort of really amazing debut, there wasn't a tremendous amount of significantly new additions, and instead of perhaps upgrading the performance on the pitch or investing significantly in Ultimate Team or things like that. And it sounds like this new story mode is kind of an answer to that. Look, we got our game built, we got the foundation built. Now we're really taking a leap forward. It sounds like this is almost an answer to some of that criticism. Is that a fair statement? And what really is behind this new story mode?
Yeah, I mean that we're aware of that, and that is kind of a fair statement. I mean, there's been lots of efforts in lots of different areas of the game, and if you kind of go back through the years, you'll see that all the the career modes, the onlines, all the rest of it, the foot, all of that has taken great leaps forward. But yes, as a kind of standalone, brand new, something never done before, new mode, we haven't done one of those since foot, which is going on like 7 years ago. So yeah, this is definitely part of that. And the other part of it is as Aaron mentioned, the fact that we can do it now, the fact that Frostbite has allowed us to do this. This is a mode that wouldn't exist without Frostbite. So it kind of a perfect unison of getting a new engine and then building a mode that has the ability to show off that engine to kind of its fullest. So, yeah, so it's a hugely exciting time to be coming out with this. It's something we think the fans have wanted for a long time. You know, football's changed in the past decade in the sense that you can now digest it 24/7 pretty much, social media is a huge part of it. Pretty much all the players post on social media. You've got apps and websites devoted to, transfers, football lifestyle, every real facet of it. So you can really, live and breathe football, as I say, 24/7 if you want. And so there's a window onto the kind of backroom side of football, the behind the curtain, so to speak, that there's never been before. You know, 20 years ago, you didn't know any of this, but now you do. So I think it's very much an integral part of football, modern day football, and something the fans have been wanting us to explore. We've done a phenomenal job of focusing on the 90 minutes on the pitch, but once that final whistle blows, there's not much, certainly cinematically speaking, outside of that. Obviously, career mode does a great job of the transfers and all the rest of it, but from a visual standpoint and a kind of emotional standpoint, we've never really, as I say, kind of peeked behind the curtain. So this is our foray into that world, as you so to speak, and a hugely exciting one as well.
So unlike perhaps the NBA, where in NBA 2K16 there was a very specific cinematic story mode, you know, it focused on the NBA. There's only so many teams. It's only really in one country, technically, too, the United States and Canada with the club in Toronto. When it comes to international football, you could literally go to any country around the world. You know, you could be the Premier League. You could be, you know, La Liga. You could be the Bundesliga. You could be Serie A. I mean, you could choose any nationality, any level of football, any kind of situation. Tell me where... How did you arrive at what you arrived at, and what are the things that you can look forward to experiencing in this new mode?
Yeah, so great question. And obviously, as you say, the world of football is global, so there is lots of different avenues open to us. For this episode, the kind of kickoff, we chose to focus on the EPL, and the reason for that is numerous. Firstly, we know outside of the game, just in the real world aspect, that it's by far the most popular league in the world. The world over, you know, it gets kind of crazy viewing figures that tops the Super Bowl just for a kind of regular game. So it's got a huge global appeal. So it's the most popular real world league in the game. Our telemetry tells us that it's likewise the most popular game league to play in our game. So we can kind of see who's playing what in terms of the teams being used. So within our game, it mirrors the real world in that it's the most popular. And then just from a authenticity standpoint, it's our most authentic league in the game because we just have all the stadiums, etc.
I think there's also one other very interesting fact that we found through research is that it is actually the most internationally represented league in the world as well. I think there's something like 64 different nationalities represented in the Premier League. So it was a tough decision, but at the end of the day, for all the reasons that Matt's talking about, we kind of settled on the Premier League.
Yeah, so, yeah, and that is a great point. It's English in title. It's very much a global in terms of appeal and the players that play in there, arguably to the detriment of the English national squad, if you believe some people. But it is certainly a global league. So that's why we kind of chose that. So the story is based in England. It's based around a single player by the name of Alex Hunter, who was a 17-year-old kid from humble roots in Clapham, London, which is a suburb of London. He's kind of got football in the blood. His grandfather was a kind of England legend back in the 60s. And that's kind of a nice thing that we use to kind of compare the old game to the new game. Because obviously, back in the 60s, it wasn't being played by millionaires who could retire after one season. It was a very, very different game back then. So that's kind of a nice interesting kind of touch point to kind of compare. And then his father was also a footballer whose career was cut short through injury. So there's a lot of interesting kind of family ties to it and a lot of interesting narrative things that we do with that. So that's kind of a high-level summary. But one of the things we did want to allow is the agency for users to choose where they sign. Because obviously football is a passionate affair. As a passionate Man City fan, if we were to create a mode that I had to play as Man United, I just would never play it, purely out of principle. And that goes for a lot of other clubs. Aaron sat next to me as an Arsenal fan. If we made a mode that was all about Tottenham, I'm sure he'd think likewise. So that was a big deal for us. So whilst it is set in the EPL, you can sign for any of those teams, and that was kind of a key thing for us. There will be kind of differences based on those teams, so it's not the same experience for every team in the sense that, you know, the criteria to make the starting 11 might be higher for one of the big boys like the Man City's, the Man United's, etc. Whereas if you sign for Bournemouth or Watford or kind of some of the newly promoted teams, the standard to make it on the starting 11 will be a little bit less. So it gives you an opportunity to get more game time. So agency and making sure we didn't kind of force a specific team for the user to play on was kind of a key thing for it as well.
So it sounds like there's a lot of things happening off the pitch, but there also will be on the pitch. So is there, in addition to sort of meeting with the manager or perhaps interacting with your teammates or your family and friends, I would imagine you're still spending a lot of time on the field, on the pitch. Do you play all of the matches and all of the games? Are you inserted in crucial moments? Do you have the choice? Like, how does that work as far as when you're playing?
Again, another very important part of when we were kind of setting out to do this. We wanted to make sure that every kick of the ball on the pitch was under the user's control. We didn't want to kind of force it so you're joining a match in the 85th minute and you're on a yellow card and carrying an injury or anything like that. It's very much your story, so we want to give you the control of that. So every kick of the ball you control. However, to your point of how that manifests itself in terms of your performance, it's very, very tied to that. So when you start off, you will be coming on as a sub, just as in the real world, because you're kind of the new kid on the block. So you will start the first few games as a sub, trying to make your mark, so to speak. But then as the narrative progresses, it's very much in your hands. So we have this thing called the kind of manager rating, which is basically the gateway to play in the game. So there are various levels you can be at. So you can obviously, the top of those is the starting 11, you're making the team. There's then early sub, late sub, and then the reserves. And where you kind of fall in that rank is entirely up to you. So if you go on the pitch and seize your opportunity and get 10 after 10 after 10 in terms of match rating, highly unlikely because that's a hugely high standard. But if you kind of knock it out of the park in terms of performance, you will then make it onto the team. You will guarantee your place on the team. Conversely, if you have a couple of shockers and, you know, you're getting a fives or a fours or whatever, your manager rating will drop, and when it drops below a certain threshold, you will hit one of those levels. So you'll maybe just hit the subs bench, or the worst thing is make the reserves. You'll actually be dropped from the starting 11. So that's all in the hands of the user. Now, obviously, if you are dropped from the reserves, you need a means to get back on the starting 11. And just as in the real world, that is done through training. So the kind of core loop of the mode is game training, just as it is in the real world. So you can utilize training for numerous things. Firstly, it's to kind of learn the game, you know, the actual playing of FIFA. Secondly, it is kind of to work your way on the back onto into the manager's good books. And again, that mirrors real life. I always use Emil Heskey as an example because as an England fan, we watched and he'd make the England squad time in, time out, and everyone was like, why is this guy on the squad? And the commentators will all say the same thing, and the kind of takeaway would be he's had a good week in training. So it very much replicates the life of a footballer. But it was a key thing when we at the outset that we didn't kind of script any of that. It was very much in the hands of the users to how much time they get to play the game.
And I mean, I don't know if you can say or not, is there like an end game? Is there a particular ultimate sort of goal or series of goals that you reach to win? Or do you play a career no matter what? How does it, you know, how does it sort of unfold in front of you as to what keeps you going?
Well, we don't want to give away any kind of ending, so we're not going to speak to that. But just the narrative does change based on your performance. So there are certain scenes that will only trigger if you do certain things. So, for example, to my point about we don't want to kind of script anything that any moments on the pitch that you participate in. So if you get a red card, there'll be scenes and consequences to that red card. You know, you'll get a dressing down by the assistant coach that you wouldn't see if you didn't get a red card. So there is content in there, quite a bit of it, that is very much determined by your performance on the pitch. And the narrative itself also changes to a degree by your performance on the pitch. And like I said, I don't want to give too much away on that, but it should be noted that, you know, with the choice of team and all the rest of it, every person's journey will be different. And that was kind of a key part of kicking off the mode. We wanted it to be very personal. We kind of used the cliche of the water cooler conversation. If two people bump into each other at the water cooler, they both play through the journey, that conversation could be very, very different depending on how they performed. Oh, I did this. Oh, really? I didn't see that. I did that, you know. So there is a lot of variation based on how the user performs. And that was, again, kind of, as I say, kind of a key goal of the mode from the outset.
Excellent. All right. Well, before I let you guys get out of here, some good gameplay stuff to talk about as well. I've been playing FIFA regularly. I sort of picked it back up a few weeks ago. And I've been trying to remake Everton in trying to trying to get Daniel Alaba to come over. The guy wants $75 million. That's not going so well. Had to get rid of James McCarthy when he fell out with me. I didn't appreciate that. So I got my I'm now knee-deep in FIFA 16 again. So talk to me about the gameplay updates this year. You mentioned right before we went on that there are basically four pillars of gameplay. So talk to me about what those are and what that means to somebody like me who's playing FIFA 16 right now.
Yeah, I think gameplay is massive again this year. There's no other way to say that. We've talked a lot about the Frostbite engine and the Journey, and they're the shiny new objects, and they're a big deal, don't get me wrong, but gameplay is always the core of what we do on FIFA, and this year's no different. We've got four big things to talk about, and a lot of investment's gone into those as well. You know, we've been talking about, again, Frostbite and the Journey being multi-year deals. There's a lot of work that's been happening in gameplay over the last couple of years as well for FIFA 17. So this game is really a culmination of a lot of big things coming together. But the four pillars that we want to talk about today are: the first one is rewriting the set pieces. So all of our set pieces, corner kicks, free kicks, direct free kicks, wide free kicks, deep free kicks, penalty shots, throw-ins, they've all been changed. We've actually, with respect to the penalties and the corners, we've been working on that for 2 years as well. So there's a whole lot of change in rewriting all of our set pieces. The second big thing that I want to talk about is something we're calling a physical play overhaul. And when you talk about the amount of work that's gone into features over the years, I've been a gameplay producer before this year for the last, 8 to 10 years on FIFA. This is the feature that we've had the most people, the most investment gone into out of all the features that we've ever done. This is including our goalkeeper rewrite that we did a few years back, our step-based locomotion, the player impact engine. This feature has taken more work from more people than all of those features. So our physical play overhaul is a massive deal this year. If I'm talking about the change that I think for someone like yourself who's ingrained in FIFA 16 and playing day in and day and out, the thing that you're going to notice first overall is our new active intelligence system, and that's all about our player runs and positioning. We've got a lot more technology to work with this year that has really changed the way that we're doing our runs in the game, and the net result is you're getting a lot more activity and a lot more different types of runs all over the pitch. And the last one that I want to talk about today is something we're calling attacking techniques, which is a whole slew of new controls that we're giving you to be able to take advantage of the defense whenever you get a chance, with more finite control and more deliberate control on some of the actions that you can do in the game.
Interesting. So from a perspective of, again, from the guys who are really, I would call myself something of a casual fan, but the guys who are, all they play is FIFA. Sounds like you addressed a few things that they're definitely going to notice. What are a few of the other sort of things related to this that the people that play this game day in and day out for years have been asking for that you're delivering?
Yeah, so I think there's a number that I could touch on as things that come from our fans or that our fans have been asking for. I'm going to go back to the active intelligence system, which is our new technology for player runs, because I think this is born out of some of the feedback that we got on FIFA 16. When FIFA 16 shipped, we thought it was a great game, and we set out to make one of the most balanced experiences that we'd ever made. You probably heard us talking at length about that last year. And when we put it out, we thought, great, this is exactly what we achieved. Fans that were new to our game loved it. Fans that were more casual but had played FIFA many times before loved it. But what we found is when you got to extremely competitive levels, and guys who got really good at defending and understanding the new defending mechanics that we've been putting in the game and the interceptions feature that went in the game that really was there to make that midfield matter, they were able to take advantage of that and stifle the game so that you didn't get as many opportunities as we'd have liked and the experience wasn't as enjoyable. So obviously we addressed some of that last year in a post-ship patch on FIFA 16, and we're very happy where we got to. But it was sort of the driving force behind the active intelligence system and what we could do there to try and make that more exciting. And the goal was really to try and get more activity The goal was the final third, but the net result is we got it kind of all over the pitch. But we wanted more activity in that final third so that we could break through those stalwart defenses when they were there with creativity and get more run types to get more creative ways to score goals and create opportunities when the game was very, very tight. And we wanted to do that so that we could preserve that midfield build-up play that we worked so hard to get in 16. So I think we've done that this year. And the new technology changes in active intelligence give us a better understanding of space, which right out the box means all of the runs that we previously had in the game have a better understanding of the topography of the pitch and where the players are, so that you can actually make better decisions about where to run to. But the other thing we did is we added a lot more match context into how we classify that space and how we understand which space is better than other spaces. And the net result of that is we're getting a whole slew of new run types in the game, from create space runs to create separation runs to the ability to do fake runs, to make runs to get into position, to make a secondary run, to make diagonal runs, to make overlapping, lateral runs. There's all sorts of more activity happening all over the pitch that gives you more options as an attacking player to be creative in building up your attack. And I think, like I said before, it's the feature that I would say stands out the most when you first pick up the controller in FIFA 17. Sorry.
I just want you guys to make Everton better in real life. If you could figure out how to make that happen, I'd really appreciate that. All right, well, before we...
You find the job.
Before we let you go, Matt...
Put your FIFA down and experience.
Before we let you go, Matt, anything else you wanted to get in there before we let you get out of here?
No, just to kind of reiterate what an exciting time for FIFA it is. You know, as you alluded to before, this is a huge year on many fronts. There's the Frostbite transition, there's the brand new mode, there's all the gameplay stuff Aaron's spoken about, and then there's a whole bunch of stuff we're not talking about. So it is one of the biggest years I can remember for FIFA. The biggest, yeah. So it is a hugely exciting time for FIFA, and one of the things about the journey, which we should probably mention as well, is that it's designed in part to be a gateway to football, to kind of appeal to both returning users and casual users. So if you've ever kind of thought of dabbling your feet in the world of FIFA, this is kind of the perfect year to kind of dive in and do that. So, as I say, a very, very big year for FIFA.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because as somebody, I mean, I've been a big fan of international football for much less time than I have been of any of the other major sports. You know, it's probably about 5 to 6 years that I've really been following it at a detailed level. I've been an Everton supporter for years, but it took me a while, and I actually took a trip to the UK back in about 2011 to really sort of understand the differences in international football between American sports. Like in American sports, you have the regular season, the playoffs, and the championship. And in European football, well, you got the regular season, but then you've also got this thing like in England called the FA Cup. And you've also got this thing called the Capital One Cup. And then you got the Champions League. And I was like, wait, what? Which is what's the thing? I want to know what the thing is. What do I want to... Wait, you mean the FA Cup isn't for the people who win the Premier League? Wait, there's no playoffs? Like, as an American, it's a very confusing thing. Now, as you start to get more and more involved in it, you know, FIFA, the game, starts to become a little clearer as well. But there's still millions and millions of Americans in particular, but people around the world who really want to enjoy the game of FIFA, who I don't think understand a lot of the things going on. When you talk about transfer markets and players being bought and sold and different competitions and having to manage your roster, having to sort of prioritize, well, what trophy do you really want to go after? All those kind of things. So it sounds like you said, what you're doing is you're adding something that will help people that will really want to experience FIFA experience it. So good luck with that. I'm definitely looking forward
absolutely.
To checking that out.
That's great. Yeah. No, we're excited to get people's feedback on it. Sure.
Well, excellent. Aaron McCarty, Matt Pryor from the FIFA team, congratulations on the upcoming launch of FIFA 17. Best of luck with it. I'm sure you're not exactly done yet. You're not quite time to put up your feet and relax. So,
what I was going on vacation. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming on today. We appreciate it, gentlemen. And we'll talk to you again soon, hopefully when the game launches.
Thanks for having us, Rich.
Always a pleasure. Cheers.
Well, all right, summer is here, and that means that it is really time for a lot of the big information about Madden football to come out. And I'm excited. I'm here today with John White, a designer on the Madden series, to talk about my personal favorite aspect of the Madden world, which is the Madden franchise. So, you know, you who listen to the show regularly know that I am a big franchise guy. There are millions of Madden players around the world who are big into franchise. I'm in particular an online franchise guy, but also offline as well. So, John, you are, you know, you're sort of taking the helm this year of talking a lot about the improvements, updates to the Madden franchise. So before we get into any of the specifics, let me ask you, what's the theme of the franchise mode this year? You know, what do you want to, when you sort of got down to designing what was happening this year, what were your focal points? What were you really concentrating on? And what are the things that you wanted to make sure that you got right this year when it comes to updating the franchise mode in Madden?
One of the biggest focuses we had was on tuning and tweaking and improving the systems that were there and making sure that they behave as like to the best that they possibly could this year. So that was really the guiding beacon this year. And because of that, we ended up touching a lot of the mode and tweaking a lot of the mode to make it like live up to the best of its potential.
Okay, so let's just get right down to it. What's at the top of your list this year of things that people are going to be excited about when they start using the Madden franchise mode?
One of the biggest changes you'll notice pretty soon on in your experience is play the moments. So this is a way to play through a game faster than you've ever done before. It utilizes Super Sim and as you load into the game, you can choose to play the key moments. And then when you get into the game, it then prompts you at the various key moments of the game. So that means you'll be thrown into red zone, offensive red zone drives or red zone stops or third down offensive plays or big 2-minute drives at the end of the game or big 2-minute drives at the end of the half. All the big moments of the game will essentially be prompted to you, and it'll be simming the rest of the game. So you'll be able to play through games much quicker, and it feels like whenever you watch the Red Zone channel, NFL Red Zone channel, it's like the coolest parts of the game just kind of brought to you, and it ends up a lot of cool things happen because they're the more aggressive or risky situations in a game. So you end up getting a lot of the really cool highlight-type moments just playing it that way. And one of the really big driving factors for this is because you're able to play games faster, you're able to play through a season faster. You can actually play through a season in a weekend and move on to the next. So all the players and fans that love building their teams and crafting their experience that way, they'll be able to get through a season much quicker, but still have really cool, meaningful gameplay moments throughout the season itself. So that's a really big change, and it will definitely change the way you play. And we've added a lot of options to it. So it's not just playing the key moments. You can also play just the offense, so play offense only or play defense only. And you can go in and out of that mode whenever you want. So if you're playing the key moments at the beginning of the game and you want to switch out and play the full game at halftime, you can do that easily. Or you can switch into it. If you get a big lead and you just want to play the key moments after halftime, you can quickly jump into it that way. So there's a lot of flexibility with it, and it all comes with a new presentation in terms of how you're watching the sim experience. So you're seeing lines, the drive lines draw on the field with a big play-by-play UI element hovering over the field so you can see exactly what's going on. So you have that context when you get dropped in what's going on.
It sounds really interesting. There's a few different questions I have about this. So first of all, it's interesting how you sort of make sure that you find the right balance between somebody feeling like they're still, I don't want to use the word participating, but still have the kind of influence they want on the outcome while being able to play games much faster. So what's the balance? Like, if you're What's the typical amount of time that something would like this would take in a single game if, you know, you have a relatively close game? Are we talking 5 minutes? Are we talking 15 minutes? And how do you sort of figure out when the time is to bring a player into the game as opposed to have things just sort of, move along as the simulation plays out?
So the games last around 15 to 20 minutes. It obviously depends on what type of game it is. If you're winning by a lot, you may not play as many moments because you're up by a lot, so you don't need to jump in and play as much. But different types of games, you'll have different lengths, but around 15, 20 minutes. You write the design, and then you go and implement the design in the game. And from there, you get it play tested, and you play with it yourself and get feedback from the team. And so since then, we've iterated a lot on the types of triggers we have and the types of moments that are presented to try to get that sweet spot that that we were looking for. And when I've been playing with it the last couple of weeks, it's really, with the games I've lost, I felt like I'm the reason why they lost. The games that we won, I felt like I was the reason why they won. And that's really what we wanted to get to. So you have that sense of agency in the game where you're actually dictating the outcome. And because we throw you into, big 2 minute drives at the end of the half or big third downs, like you feel like you have that chance to either stop them or get points on the board. And it's whether you come up short or not. It's really on you. There's not many cases. I haven't played a game yet where I felt like, I wasn't the reason why I lost.
Well, hopefully it's more often you're the reason why you won as opposed to lost.
Yes, but people are very sensitive. People don't like losing if they felt like they came out and played an all-star type game, and every moment they had they nailed, and then they came out with a loss at the end of the game. That's people obviously that would people don't want that, right? So that was the one that we really tried to target. But yeah, I had two back-to-back overtime games that came down to the last drive, and one of them I got down into the red zone and threw a pick six, and it just killed me. And another one I drove down the length of the field in overtime. They went ahead and scored a field goal, and then I came down and got the touchdown and won the game. So there's some really intense, exciting games.
I would imagine that the focus of your franchise and the types of game that you want to play, what type of offense you run, what type of defense you run, influences what's happening when you're not playing the game as well, right? I mean, obviously you've had, for years, you've had, here's the type of offense I run, here's the type of defense I run, here's the sets that I like, here's my playbook. I would imagine, though, that's even a little bit more important now for that strategic direction to come into play, even if you're not the one calling each and every play.
Yes. Our sim logic uses the playbook for your team. So it's authentic in terms of play calls based on that. And we've also tuned Super Sim and the sim logic to try to match that 120 play count that typically games have. So even if you're playing on 6 minute quarters or 15 minute quarters, the sim logic is actually going to really try its best to force that sim the play count to match.
And how,
which
does,
is something that was really important. Yeah.
How does confidence and XP factor in? Because at least for the last couple of years, as you would have success or not with your players, their confidence would go up and down. And as you would have, as you would meet certain goals in the game, your XP would potentially increase or not. How does that factor in with this when you're using this mode?
So all the normal all the systems that cater towards XP and confidence, those are all still intact when you're using this mode. We have tuned and changed those systems quite a bit since last year. So I can go into details about that. But playing and play the moment, it's not changing that drastically. We have a lot more contextual drive goals. So when you are thrown into that 2-minute drive at the end of the game, you do have a very contextual drive goal that's telling you, you know, must get points for the win, or hold on to the lead, or run down clock. So we have very contextual drive goals. That whole system's been retuned and switched this year to be a lot more integrated into your franchise experience. And ones that aren't contextual to the game are tailored towards your player's career and season milestones. So if players are coming up on their 100th passing or 100th touchdown, your quarterback is, like, you'll get a drive goal for get your 100th career passing touchdown. So we have the goals are a lot more tailored towards season goals and milestones, which tie in with the whole XP system as well, because you have season goals that are matching a lot of the drive goals that we have, and you have milestone goals that are tied towards the drive goals that we have as well. But confidence itself has been adjusted, so it's more around your team winning and losing versus any individual player doing great or poorly. We still have some of those in, but it's really more in line with that. So, like, for example, you think about the Panthers last year. You know, they were, you know, really, they had a lot of confidence going into the playoffs, and it's because they just rattled off a ton of wins that season. And the teams that are have a lower confidence is because they've been losing a lot. So it's more tied around as team wins and losses and getting on streaks or losing against your rivals versus any individual player's performances.
I would imagine that specific sort of adjustment to confidence has come from not only your own internal team, but also listening to the community. Because I know that confidence has been a subject of much debate, in particular over the last couple of years, not only confidence in and of itself, but also how it can directly, or at least it has felt like it can really directly impact your players. Like, if you got a quarterback who throws a couple interceptions, especially if it's a young quarterback, you know, when that confidence is shot, it has been particularly difficult, for example, to get that back up and be successful. So it sounds like you guys have incorporated a lot of your own, you know, analytics in this, as well as listening to the community when it comes to the confidence and probably the XP as well. Is that a fair statement?
No, that's definitely a fair statement. Yeah.
So it's,
yeah, we constantly listen to the community. Just to go along with that, I mean, we're constantly trying to have our ear down and listen to what people's complaints are or opportunities to make adjustments. We definitely take in feedback to heart and try to make changes that we can.
It also sounds like this sort of opens up some really interesting ways to play a franchise as well. Like, it's one thing just to play shorter games. Like, that's, you know, it's always interesting, or, you know, I'm sure you guys are always looking at ways to how can we make this mode more palatable to a larger group of people, or less intimidating to more casual fans, as well as always, of course, satisfying the demands of the core players of Madden. But it sounds like, for example, like, you know, I've talked about it before, not to bring up another game, but like MLB The Show, I make liberal use of the player lock feature, so that when I'm playing in a 162 game franchise, you know, I can play 3 or 4 games over the course of an hour. I can play an entire series and you know, 3 games and sometimes even 4 by player locking on a pitcher, right, for one game, and then game 2 I'll player lock on a hitter, you know, for the first 6 or 7 innings, and then maybe play the last 2 or 3 games. I still feel like I'm influencing it, but yet I don't go through, you know, the entire 9 innings every single time, which could take a long time. It sounds like with this, not only is it just a new and interesting way to experience a game and play a franchise, but it sounds like you could also, like, you could sit down and over the course of like 2 or 3 hours, you could get through, if not at a complete season, you can pretty much, you know, certainly over a weekend, you know, you can bang through a season or two if you really wanted to, and really experience some of that longer term franchise building in a way where you're not either just simming or you're not just playing the complete game. It sounds like this opens up a new way to experience it, where you have some controls over it, but you're also able to do things quicker and see the outcomes in a different way. Was that sort of a partial reason for this as well?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, 17-week season is a really long time. Plus, you have preseason games in front of that, and then you hit the playoffs. So we just wanted to make sure people can get through and play the experience that they're looking for. And we know that team building and team management is a really core foundational element to franchise mode. So this is just, to us, it was just a very logical step to help people feel like they are getting that game experience while still having time to be able to play and get the payoff for scouting throughout the season and picking up free agents during the off season and like make sure you get that payoff so they can get to year two and three and four with new teams and actually develop their team up.
Cool. Let's talk a little bit more about game planning. Now, I do know that there are some overhauled game planning modifications that you've made as well in how you approach each week's game. Now, in the past year or two, game planning per week has been around, allocating certain time to certain types of players for confidence and maybe doing some of your own, practices and things like that. Sounds like you've made some modifications and updates to how you do your game planning. Can you talk a little bit about that? Walk us through that process.
Yeah, so when you start your week, you will be able to choose your training for the week and game plans. And you'll be able to choose an offensive and a defensive game plan. The AI will choose a default one for you based on your opponent's tendencies. So we're tracking tendency data for your opponent for that week, whether it's an AI opponent or if it's a human opponent in online leagues. You'll be able to see some of their tendencies, what concepts they go to on defense, what concepts they go to on offense, and so you can better tailor the game plans that you want to go with that week. So you'll choose an offensive and defensive game plan. And then for each one, you'll load into the game and you'll play your offensive drill and your defensive drill back to back. So you won't have to load back out and load back in. It's a one seamless experience where you load into game and play them back to back. And based on which drill you choose, you have an in-game tie. So let's say you, on defense, you say you want to work on your cover two defense. And in game that week, your cover two defense will have a slight ratings modification when you call that play. And then play call, you'll be able to see the plays that are boosted and when they're boosted. And they have a little green highlight and a little icon so you can easily see if it's going to be boosted or not. We have a lot of drills, a lot of game plans you can choose. And tied to this, like for example, on offense, you could choose you want to go with your verticals concept this week and focus on that, or you can choose attacking cover two. And so anytime your opponent calls cover two, you have a boost versus that. So we have a lot of there's a lot of creative ways in how you choose your game plans each week. So that's really if you want to tailor it towards your opponent for the week. You also have the choice if you're more in a less in a win now mode and more of a team building mode where you may want to just focus on drills that are going to benefit your position groups that you want to focus on. So if you're just trying to develop certain position groups, you may focus on different drills. And we do remember what medal you achieved in the game from week to week. So you don't have to keep replaying that same drill over and over again. We remember that. So if you get a gold 1 week, you can just sim it at a gold level from then on forward. So you don't have to keep loading in and playing that same drill. And on top of that, in terms of team building, you have three focus players you can choose each week. We default that at the beginning of the week to your top three rookies. And you can change that at any point and they'll remember it from week to week. And so, for example, like the Bucks, they may want to focus on Jameis for year two, and it may not they may not want to use their three rookies, considering one of them was a kicker. But coming from a Falcons fan, I always like to take shots at the Bucks as much as I possibly can. But
you're in the heart of Bucks country down there too, So that's probably a little controversial, I would think.
I know it's tough being down here sometimes, but Bucks fans are good people, so. It's all good fun. And so, yeah, you can choose whoever you want on your team and really focus and get them to the level that you want to by choosing them each week. So a choice of three players gives you that sense that you had in the past with game prep to be able to focus on individuals and try to focus on them from week to week. But we've just made it easier to do that. And also the game plan side, the offensive and defensive game plan, really changes how you make choices from week to week, because you can really dial it towards your opponent or dial it more towards team building or try to do a combination of both. But you will definitely get that tie into game, which is a really cool experience to be able to have. Makes it feel that much more meaningful by making your game plan choices week to week by seeing them in the game itself.
Very interesting. another item that I have on my list here of some improvements and modifications is something called a big decisions. Is that in game? Is that at draft time? What is big decisions, and how does that impact the franchise player?
So big decisions is a pretty wide sweeping. It has wide sweeping impact. So earlier when I was mentioning that the guiding light was to try to clean up and really tune and make all the experiences that are in the mode really usable and fun, the big decisions really kind of captures that. So for example, all the big decisions are chosen and interacted with in the front end, in the menus in the front end, but they all have ties into game in terms of commentary speaking to them. So that really makes you feel like your decisions you're making in the front end have a weight in game. So just to kind of touch on some of the decisions that we have, one of the big ones that's quite different than we've had in the past are injuries. So we've tuned injuries to be more authentic this year. And so there are more injuries than there have been in the past. So we've been tuning injuries to be very similar to our sim injuries as well. So in game, when you're playing, you should have a similar number of and types of injuries as you would when you're simming. And we still have a setting for you to adjust that as you want. But let's say last year, right, where Roma was hurt, and then they decided to play him again. Or, a few years back, RG3, they obviously decided to play him again. You get that choice in franchise mode this year too. So let's say Roma was out for a 6-week injury. At week 4, you get that choice of, you get to make this big decision of whether you want to play Roma or go in the backup. I think at the time it was Whedon last year, but you get to make that choice. And if you go with Roma, he will be playing with a lingering injury in the next little bit. And you have that chance of him getting hurt again and losing him for longer. And he also has a little bit of ratings hits based on the type of injury he sustained. So you get to make that decision, and it'll have an impact in the game. And we have banners in game now that show how well he did with and without, how well the team was doing with or without that player. We have banners that kind of speak to the injury itself. When we load in, you have a notables inactives list that shows you, the players that are hurt in the current game. And so that's one big decision that you can make. But we have several other ones as well. So we also have an improved team experience that you get during the preseason and until the trade deadline in the regular season, where free agents, where you can filter by position and see a bunch of all the free agents and all the trade block players that would actually impact your team. So you can quickly see on the filter as you're switching positions what grades you have at the various positions, and you can go to those positions and look to see if there's some players you want to try to pick up. And we've made it a lot easier to do instead of having to go into the trade screen and try to interact with it there and then go into free agent list. Those are still there, but we've also made a consolidated view of these where you can get all that information much quicker and also see your depth chart right there as well. And that same layout and that same interface has been applied to cut when you're cutting players during the preseason. that same interface. So you get recommended players when you need to make cuts, so you get to make a decision on which one, but they're being actually recommended to you. So it's a little bit easier for you to see which guy you want to get rid of instead of just seeing a list of players sorted by OVR. You're actually being recommended like a subset of players and why. And that also ties into re-signing. So re-signing throughout the season also has this new interface to make it easier for you to see who you want to go after and when they're going to be available to re-sign. And it also ties into trading and free agent bidding as well. It has a similar type of feedback on the screen. So when you're bidding during free agency, you're able to see depth chart positions and your grades right there. And when you place a bid, you're able to quickly see like how many points you have. So you're able to compare yourself versus other free agents during the offseason. So it's a pretty wide sweeping changes. Basically all the key systems for managing your team has been touched and tuned and tweaked just to make sure the right information's there and the interface is easy to use. So you're not having to back in and out of screens to be able to get the information you're looking for.
One of the things you mentioned earlier, I want to touch on a little more, is some more context specific indicators on the screen, like who your inactives are and things like that. I know something that's been asked for or mentioned, you know, for at least the last couple of years is when you're in a franchise, even more franchise specific information like the in-game score tickers, for example, and more information about sort of where you are in the season and what the standings are and where you stack up. So it sounds like you've added some things related to that as well, in particular the real-time score ticker. So maybe you can go into a little bit more about what that is and you know, how that is represented and what that means.
Yeah, that was a really big change, and we love it here on the team, being able to see everything going on around the league. So essentially, you load into game, and you get the normal the score ticker that you'd see on any broadcast each Sunday, and it gives you updates based on the type of game you're playing. So let's say you're playing a 1 o'clock game, you're going to see all the games going on currently, and then when there's score updates, you'll see those happen down there as well with little stat lines with them. And then the upcoming games will show you as upcoming and when they are scheduled. So, for example, if you then load into a Monday night game, you will see all the game scores tick by there because you're not going to see all the ones in progress. It matches the type of game you're playing to try to even, you know, better represent that authenticity of the game that you're playing. We have new wipes that show you whether it's a Sunday primetime game or a Monday primetime game or a Thursday primetime game. So all that like really helps with the feel of the games matching the type of game they are. And it's tied in with online games too. Just for online leagues, the games that have been played will show down there as well. So it has that tie with online as well.
That was my next question. That is huge. Coming from a guy who plays not exclusively, but a significant majority of my Madden games in our online franchise, that is big. So what you're saying, and I would imagine because the games in the online leagues are scheduled similarly to how they are in an offline franchise, is it if I'm Sunday at 1, I'll see, you know, some of the scores? Or if it just sort of chronologically, right? If I'm week 3 and 2 of the games have been played earlier, they'll show up versus other games that won't, regardless of time. I imagine that's a little bit tricky to handle how you do that. So how does that work?
Right. So it keeps in mind the time of game because even user games have a time of week that they're playing, time of day. So if you're playing 1 o'clock, you're going to see the other upcoming user games, but you're not going to see them tick by. But if someone else, if you're playing a 1 o'clock game and one of the other 1 o'clock games have already played, you will see their scores update throughout the game as you're playing. So it's like you were there or watching.
Interesting. Very interesting. Another item that is in this year is full player editing. I know this has also been a subject of a lot of discussions. What is when we say full player editing, that sounds pretty big. What does that mean, and does it matter between online and offline? Is it a setting? What is that all? What does that encompass?
So this is one directly for our community, trying to make sure that they have all the tools that they would want to be able to run and manage their own franchise. So as a commissioner, you can essentially hit edit player on any player in the league and choose all their appearance options, can change ratings, can change traits, can change their contract information, can change basically everything about them. There are a couple caveats here or there, but ratings are a big one, and appearance and names and all that stuff. The commissioner can make edits on all that, and then it'll save for that player, and it'll post the transaction log that the commissioner edited that player, so the league members can kind of keep an eye on them, but hopefully you're not in a league with a shady commissioner.
Well,
you can kind of trust them, but...
As a co-commissioner in the Press Row Podcast League, I can tell you I am very shady and I can be easily bought. So, you know, just putting it out there. Money talks.
So they can keep an eye on you and see you edited everyone on your team, interestingly enough.
That's funny. So that, you know, it's interesting. So where did the player editing come from? So, I mean, is it simply like, okay, let's just take, for example, right? Like I'm the Eagles in my league and DeMarco Murray starts off really highly rated, but then in real life, he kind of goes haywire. You could either blame that on Murray or blame that on Chip Kelly and the Eagles. You can probably correct in both ways. Is it because of stuff like that? Because like he remains sort of pretty darn good, and then in reality he remains pretty darn good in the online franchise, but in reality he hasn't. I mean, is that sort of the reasoning behind it, or is it because maybe he had a young receiver come in who didn't have very high ratings, but he turns out he sets the league on fire? Is it all of those reasons? Like, what's sort of the reasoning behind the player editing and your ability now as a commissioner to do some of those adjustments?
Yeah, so we spent a lot of time tuning all the systems, and we try to tune it to the, you know, that 95%. Like, we try to figure out what we think our fans want the most.
Sure.
And we tune it to that as best as we can. But we know, like, it's a very popular mode, and there's people that love to play this mode. Every time I talk with people, I ask them, you know, how they play the mode and what things they find the most interesting about it. Everyone basically has a different answer. Everyone has their own way they like to play, and so there's no way we're going to be able to tweak it exactly perfect for everyone in the world. So one of our fallbacks here is basically those two examples you listed there are examples that, which is why this came to be. So things like if someone regresses based on age, and you're like, no, this guy needs to be awesome, like I just don't agree with this regression happening, you can go in and tweak those attributes there. If someone comes in and you want to develop him and he's not developing as fast as you want, we obviously have the XP tuning sliders that will be available for offline this year as well. But you can go in and adjust attributes that way as well. So, you know, as we just wanted to make sure the tools were there for commissioners and people managing their league, that they can make the edits and tweaks that they want, so they can fulfill the fantasies that they have in their minds. So it's really just a tool set, and we wanted to, we heard from the community that, you know, certain things that people liked and certain, but other people, and people didn't even agree on what they think it should be. So we're never going to hit that silver bullet of perfect when two people don't even agree on what they want. But tools like this will help us give them the ability to make that experience what they want.
What else do you have cooking? We talked about, obviously, the big play the moments feature. We talked about game planning. We talked about the in-game score tickers. We talked about full player editing. We talked about big decisions. Anything that we missed that we want to make sure that we get to here?
Yeah, so we have several other things. So regression, I mentioned, I just dropped that word in a couple sentences ago, but so now regression is really exciting, especially for some of the more in-depth players, people that really love to see the minutia and the detail about their players, is we now have an XP history screen right on the player card. So you can go to the player card, and you can see week to week exactly how they got all their XP and how they got their attribute points and how they lost their attribute points. So you can really easily see everything about that player and what constitutes that player. Tied to that, in any time a player regresses on your team, you will then have a things to do option that shows up that you can then go to that screen and see detail on all the players that regress that week. So we're really trying to make sure we surface all that information to you so you feel like you have control over your team and know what's going on. So that's a really big improvement from that area. And it's also helped us tune it and fine-tune it and make sure we get that right experience in. Regression itself has been adjusted, so it really matches much more the curve of our initial rosters. And based on age, and you're not going to see as many, like, giant spikes, or you won't see any giant spikes to any individual attribute for one season. You will see it spaced out across a lot of attributes based on age, instead of just, like, you know, the famous example is getting hit by speed. Like, if your wide receiver dropped 15 speed, he ends up becoming worthless in one season. We wanted to make sure that experience never happened. So instead of getting the 15 points in speed, you'll get maybe 2 or 3 points in speed and 2 or 3 points in acceleration. So it's all kind of spaced out from a bunch of the attributes. That being said, a couple of the other exciting things we have, practice squad is in the game. That's a really big feature that our fans have been clamoring for and wanting for a long time now. And so we have your 10-man practice squad that you can assign starting week 4 of the preseason. Instead of cutting some of your players, you can send them right to the practice squad.
Love that.
And now that, and now that injuries are a little bit more prevalent this year, you will need to dig into your practice squad and pull guys up, hopefully that you've been developing into key positions, or switch out people based on injuries. So you get to make those choices throughout the whole season, and it ends up becoming just another cool way to manage your team. And that's also tied in with game planning. Those guys are benefited based on choices you make there as well. Some of the other things, one of the exciting things for me in terms of progression is dynamic dev traits. So as players are earning, if a player earns a weekly or season award, such as like an MVP or Offensive Rookie of the Year, or they get a weekly Defensive Player of the Week, either Defensive or Offensive Divisional Player of the Week, that you have a chance of going up a development trait. So you can turn your slow dev draft picks into actually decent players if you can bust out with them and have breakthrough season with them. So it better matches what you would expect in the real life. So my example I like to use is, so last year I was playing with the Falcons in my online league, and I had a choice, you know, Tevin Coleman or Devontae Freeman to start. I ended up going with Tevin Coleman. He was a little bit quicker, but I ended up getting Offensive Rookie of the Year, got multiple players of the weeks with him, but he was still, at the end of the season, I think he was slow last year, either slow or normal, but he was still either slow or normal. And you expect a guy that broke through and had Offensive Rookie of the Year, in our Madden rosters, he'd be quick, or probably not superstar after just one season, but he'd at least be quick. But the only way for us to match that in game would be for me to go buy that development trait package. So in this year, you have that chance of him actually rolling and upgrading throughout the season based on spectacular play. But with the guys that go up, there's guys that come down too. So you will see players that, you know, superstars that miss their season goals have a chance of dropping down. Quicks that miss their goal have a chance of dropping down as well, their season goals. So we have up and down, and it feels like a lot more organic, fluid ecosystem because of it. Some of the other things that we have as well is, like, at the end of the game, you'll see to be able to manage your team easier and be able to have a good sense of what's going on, you will finish the game and see how many of your coach goals you achieved and be able to spend XP points right there on that screen. And then you can advance and look at your team overview of all the XP that your team earned and see your top earners from the offensive and the defensive side. And quickly, just right there with just a button click, be able to choose and upgrade players that are recommended to upgrade. And what makes someone recommended is if they have three or more attributes that are ratings that are ready or you can afford, they will show up in the recommended list. So you just quickly make some quick decisions and get through that experience. So you have an option of being more engaged with how your players develop in a very quick and seamless way. A couple of the other things, so the news screen has been redone as well. So you're able to look at the news in a new way, and it's more visible and accessible from the things to do list. So you can quickly get to that news screen and check out all the league news. So those are some of the really big ones. And on top of that, we have more coach options. So when you go to create your coach, you have more heads you can choose from. You have more outfits you can put on. And on the player side, you have more heads as well. And there's some gear as well that you can adjust on that side as well. So some more customization options. So it's you know, a pretty wide sweeping changes this year in franchise.
So you said something that scares me. You talk about injuries being more prevalent. I got to believe, obviously, this is the NFL. Injuries are not only a part of the game, but it feels like every year they are more and more a part of the game. I imagine that you hear from the community all the time, make the game more realistic, make it more sim, therefore you need more injuries. However, injuries are also maybe not so much fun. Same thing with penalties, right? Like, I know you guys heard for years, up the penalties. I feel like I'm the only guy in the world who doesn't like penalties. Yes, they're more realistic, but is it fun having a holding called when you make a big third down? You know, we're not going to open up that debate now. But talk to me about injuries. I'm sure they're adjustable, but it sounds like you have upped their how often they happen on the default settings. Did I hear that right?
Yes. And there's a slider. You can adjust those as well. So if you want a lot or you don't want any, you can adjust that as well. But when you talk about it being fun, one thing that makes the penalties more fun, or not penalties, injuries more fun this year is you now have a practice squad that you can utilize to try to bring up depth. You have decisions around those injuries to be able to have an interesting impact on your season. To some people, the injuries makes it more interesting to have to go to your depth to be able to try to win games. But those will be, it'll be set like that on the default, but it's highly custom. You can definitely customize it.
Well, John White, designer on the Madden franchise, thank you so much for taking the time today. It sounds like you guys have certainly made a significant investment in the franchise mode this year. As a guy who plays it, I say thank you very much, and I'm sure you've heard from your community already a lot back about it. You guys have made a lot of updates, make a lot of improvements. I'm looking forward very much to trying them out in the real world, and of course I'm scared about the injuries, but hey, I'll have to get over it, right? That's just the way that it is. So so thank you very much for coming on today. We appreciate it very much, and good luck the rest of the way. And good luck with the launch of Madden NFL 17.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you guys taking the time to chat with us.